Your basketball appointment show starts now. This is Bucks Weekly, your weekly checkup of your Milwaukee Bucks and all around the rest of the NBA. And now here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Bucks Weekly, the first week of Bucks basketball is in the books. We will get to our sub of the week, your marquee matchup of the week, as the schedule turns a little bit here for the Bucks. Marquee matchup last week was the season opener against the Philadelphia 76ers, where that Bucks defense prevailed. And maybe the player that takes home sub of the week hit the biggest shot of the game. And then Saturday, a game you knew the Bucks should have a relatively easy time against the Houston Rockets team that's probably going to be among the bottom five in the NBA this season and also offers no one in the middle to provide any resistance to Giannis. That's exactly what we saw. A historic night from Giannis, 44 points in less than 28 minutes of work. The fifth time in NBA history that a player scored 44 or more points in less than 28 minutes. Fifth time in NBA history, not Bucks history, NBA history. The first time in Bucks history that that was accomplished. And of course, it's done by Giannis. So we will preview what's in front of the Bucks. And as I mentioned, find out which reserve player had the biggest impact on the first week of Milwaukee Bucks basketball. But let's just quickly take a look at the landscape of the NBA and what we saw in that first week. Boston Celtics still look to be pretty good, and that is no surprise. Bucks, of course, have a big matchup with the Celtics on Christmas Day. The Philadelphia 76ers right now are maybe the talk of basketball, and not for good reason. 0-3 start to the season for the Philadelphia 76ers. They find themselves right now last in the Eastern Conference. The 76ers and the Orlando Magic with the worst records in the East, both at 0-3. We currently have six winless teams in the NBA. The Oklahoma City Thunder, Houston Rockets, Orlando Magic. There are no surprises there. The Los Angeles Lakers. By name only, is that a surprise? When you look at the schedule, when you look at players 3 through 10 on the roster, not surprising to see the Lakers in an 0-3 hole. The Sacramento Kings. By name, that is not a surprise. It's a team that a lot of Kings fans and basketball fans have some high hopes for. By high, I mean 9 or 10 and in the play-in tournament this year. But the Sacramento Kings are 0-3, and then you have the 0-3 Philadelphia 76ers. They lost on opening night to the Boston Celtics. They lost their home opener to the Bucks on Thursday. And then they lost to the San Antonio Spurs at home on Saturday. Joel Embiid has looked terrible so far this season. Now, we are here to report the 76ers are 6 minutes away from their first win this season. They lead the Indiana Pacers 103-93 midway through the fourth. But it's not looking good so far in Philadelphia. To the point that our old pal, PJ Tucker, I've heard all dogs go to heaven. Apparently they go to Philadelphia as well with pit stops in Miami. But PJ Tucker having words with his teammates in the locker room after the loss on Saturday, basically telling them, guys, this is not what I signed up for. We need to be better than this. Never good when you're already having those conversations early in the year, but it is early. So I think a lot of Bucks fans probably thought, Thursday, no Chris, no Pat, still yet to see this Joe Ingles guy, might not be a win. The 76ers team, they loaded up in the offseason. We might not open the season with a win. And you won that game. And you thought, great. Let's take care of business against the Rockets. You did. And this Bucks team, despite their second-best offensive player, despite the glue guy that is Pat Connaughton, 2-0 start, and a rather impressive 2-0 start, thanks to Giannis. If you want to get in touch with us on the program, 855-616-1620 is the number to do so. As I mentioned, we'll take a look at which sub was our sub of the week. Reserve player that had the biggest impact on the last week of Bucks basketball. Take a peek ahead to this schedule. You heard Wyatt mentioned there, Wednesday is the next Bucks game. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and the Brooklyn Nets come to Fiserv Forum. We are in the midst of the longest homestand of the season. Six games at Fiserv Forum. Bucks don't have to leave Milwaukee until November 3rd. So we'll take a look at the rest of the schedule as well. But when we return, we'll head courtside. Gale Klappa had a chance to sit down with Peter Fagan. You will hear that conversation next. It's Bucks Weekly on WTMJ.
The names you know.
We're joined by one of the key players on the Bucks roster, Bucks forward Pat Connaughton. He's a player that Wisconsin fans know well, Wesley Matthews, a majority owner and the current governor of the team, Mark Lazzari.
Talking about your favorite basketball team, from on the court to off.
You never know, you might not have that many years left, so the hunger is for sure still there.
But I mean this, I think the fans in Milwaukee honestly recruited Bobby Portis more than anybody. I mean, he loves the fans in Milwaukee.
It's time to go courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. Here's your host, Gale Klappa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gale Klappa, and welcome back to a brand new season of Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, it seems like a long time since we've been together. But for the Bucks, that means a full summer of rest. 4 months to rejuvenate for the campaign ahead. And now, just two games into the NBA marathon, the Bucks look strong and ready to roll, with Giannis doing, well, Giannis-like things. Tonight, we'll start at the top. We'll take the pulse of the guy who lives in the corner office. He's one of the most energetic, one of the most respected executives in professional sports. Our special guest is the president of the Bucks, Peter Fagan. Peter, thanks so much for joining us here on Courtside.
Well, Gil, thanks for having me, in the honor of the first show.
Hey, amen. Amen. And we don't just do that for anybody, Peter.
Well, good. I'm excited to tell Bud and Horst that I trump them as the first show.
Amen. Well, Peter, let's tip it off with a lightning round. When you think about the Bucks, their readiness for a big-time battle against a loaded Eastern Conference this year, what's the first thought that comes to your mind?
We're better. The East is stronger. It's a long season. Stay healthy.
Amen. And of course, being healthy is a huge deal. And looking around the league, though, Peter, we've seen a huge number of roster changes. Some teams totally remaking themselves. Not so with the Bucks. Our strategy, at least to me, seems pretty simple. Get the band back together again. Your thoughts?
Yes, I think Jamie, Mark, Wes have all made it really clear that, you know, we've got this moment in time where we've got a global superstar in Giannis. How do we build around him? How do we create some consistency, create a window, you know, of a few years that really go for a championship? And we're kind of in that, you know, state of mind.
And Peter, we now, in that state of mind, have the oldest and most experienced roster in the NBA. And I noticed in a recent poll, general managers around the league anyway, said that strategy could well pay off for the Bucks. Your reaction?
Yeah, I think we learned. I mean, when we first started talking together, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, I think we had the second or third youngest team in the league. And it's amazing what happens when you stay consistent and stay on strategy and kind of build around a core, which, you know, now the core has become Chris and Drew and Giannis to get it. But there's no, you know, money can't buy experience and have it. The league is so young at different levels. It's so hard to win, you know, through draft picks that, you know, we're very happy where we are.
And speaking of experience, Peter, what a difference a healthy Brook Lopez has made in just the first two games. He's been phenomenal.
Yeah, I think you'll start seeing, you know, it's so early in game two, but, you know, a healthy, you know, moving Brook and what that does to our offense and what it does to our defense, more importantly. You know, Bud has always said, and John has always said, if we can stay in the top five of offense and defense, you know, that makes us a championship caliber team. And I think when you start looking at defensive stats, when Brook Lopez is on the court with Giannis, it is literally the Iron Curtain.
It makes sense. He's just such an effective shot blocker inside. It's just amazing. And Peter, the Bucks, you mentioned, you know, how important health is. Starting the season a bit shorthanded. Three injured players, Chris Middleton, Pat Connaughton, and a veteran acquisition by the Bucks, Joe Ingles. Can you give us just a quick thumbnail sketch of each of those three and where we stand?
Yeah, I think Joe is probably the outlier, which we knew. You know, he'd come off an ACL, and we knew we were looking at a January, might be a December kind of looking. He looks fantastic. He's, you know, if you follow social media, he's having shooting contests with Chris and kind of jarring at each other. I think he's also a veteran personality that fits in really, really well with the character of folks we already have, which will be great for our chemistry. And then, you know, Pat, kind of a strain that will keep him out for probably a couple more weeks. And I think Chris, you know, is a week or two away on his hand recovering. But I always say it's his left hand, which is good news. And he's in incredible shape, and he's already kind of running at game speed. So we're hoping, you know, during this time period, you know, to click off a few wins, to have 7 of our first 9 games at home is all kind of in our favor on paper.
And when you said it's his left hand, meaning Chris Middleton, that means it's his non-shooting hand, right, Peter?
That's right.
And that should help.
That should definitely help, yes.
Well, Peter, you mentioned Joe Ingles, who's a native of Australia. And it reminds me, when you talk about Joe Ingles, Peter, about the incredible international appeal of the Bucks. The team has a huge following, which you've talked about, outside the United States, even well beyond Europe. Share some of that information with our listeners, if you will.
Well, I think, again, a catalyst is having a good, well-rounded group of international players, whether it's from Georgia with Mamu, you know, Giannis from Greece and Nigeria, you know, who has a following. But really, kind of winning a championship, having a foreign-born global superstar as your centerpiece, playing some international games over the last few years in London and France, and most recently in Abu Dhabi, has really kind of just expanded our platform and our awareness. And I kind of always tell people, they always ask, what are you excited about? And I said, well, it's kind of cool to be in Abu Dhabi and see a few thousand locals like wearing jerseys with the name Milwaukee across the front of the jersey. It's kind of like where the world is coming and how we've expanded our brand and how significant NBA basketball has become. And I think Australia is just kind of one of the epicenters of pro basketball, of youth involvement in basketball. I mean, Joe is part of a long line of Australian stars that have come into the league. And, you know, I think one of our podcasts, our famous podcasters in the marketplace, is Australian and kind of touts how big Bucks basketball is in Australia in a big way. And we've kind of sprinkled in a few Australians over the years.
And Peter, of course, you mentioned the trip to Abu Dhabi, which the Bucks made on behalf of the NBA in the preseason. There was a rumor that you were found on top of a camel one night at midnight. Is there any truth to that, Peter?
Well, not at midnight, and I was a big encourager of camel rides. I think my wife took a ride, maybe with Connington, a few other people around the circle. I didn't dislike the camels. I just didn't. I didn't like the dismount. They're very aggressive in their lowering down back to the floor, which I saw once or twice, and I said, oh, you know what? I'll take the pictures of everybody.
More Courtside on Bucks Weekly coming up next on WTMJ. This is Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Now back to Courtside with Gale and Bucks president Peter Fagan.
Peter, you know you can't talk about the Bucks without talking about Giannis. And off the court, of course, Giannis likes to tell dad jokes. I understand, Peter, that there's a rumor floating around that you have some type of dad joke promotion coming up this season. Tell us about it, if you will.
Well, I think this guy is such a character. I mean, again, one of these rare birds. It's almost as awesome off the court as he is on the court. Funny, irreverent. He's kind of made these dad jokes in post-game conferences a big thing, of which, you know, there are tens of millions of views of his dad jokes. So we are thinking about and exploring the ability to maybe mix one of the classic promotions of, say, a bobblehead and the ability to tell some of those dad jokes, you know, via something like a bobblehead, which would be pretty cool.
Well, that would be a first. That would really be interesting. We'll look forward to that, Peter. And many of our listeners, speaking of the Antetokounmpo brothers, many of our listeners may not know that the Bucks have added another Antetokounmpo to the organization, the youngest brother, Alex.
Yeah, Alex is on the herd this season. We have We have Thanasis, Giannis, and Alex. It's great. It's actually really fun because when Giannis is not playing and has a day off, he actually gets to the Fox Valley and goes to Oshkosh to watch him play, which creates quite a buzz in some scenes. So it's pretty nice to be able to have the whole family together.
Oh, amen. Absolutely. And of course, one of the other brothers, I believe, is on a two-way contract with the Bulls.
Hostess, yeah, who just signed a two-way. So he's right down the road, which I think Giannis enjoys as well.
Well, Peter, switching gears a bit, from day one, the new ownership group had a vision for developing the Deer District. And that plan went well beyond building a new arena. Tell us about the progress and some of the recent announcements over the past few months for the Deer District.
Yeah, I think we've been very, very deliberate in how do we create, and we've got this unbelievable opportunity with over 30 acres to create a real neighborhood, you know, where people live, where people play, and people work. And, you know, the plan was, again, we really develop as quickly as we could. We thought the city was in a prime time to do that. I think the pandemic maybe slowed us down a year and a half or 2 years. But, you know, again, we've got things in motion right now. We're going to be opening the Trade Hotel as we get in towards the middle or end of March. We've got a music venue with a partnership with Frank Productions on the old Bradley Center lot, which will take up about a third of the lot, with another two thirds open for hopefully some residential in the near future. And I think for us, it's been very deliberate. How do we populate it? How do we curate events? How do we activate this place? And again, the overall goal being really become a destination, you know, for people in Wisconsin as well as people outside of Wisconsin.
And as we look toward the holidays coming up here, there's going to be a new element of the Cheer District come December.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, again, how to leverage our partnerships. Our friends at We Energies have really created our branded Cheer District over the last few years, and we've worked with the city of Milwaukee to add another little wrinkle, which we will be the host of Milwaukee's Tree, the city of Milwaukee's Tree in the Deer District, which is quite an honor and, again, an attraction that we think will bring in a few hundred thousand people, as it does when it was situated by City Hall, and the beginning of a new tradition, which we think will be really fun. So it's kind of one of those great moments where, you know, a little thing, but a big thing to be able to host the official city tree of Milwaukee.
Oh, exactly. And Peter, speaking of the upcoming holidays, the Bucks have been selected again to play on Christmas Day by the NBA. Obviously an honor in the NBA, and it should be quite a game in Boston.
It will be. We'd of course like to play it at home, but I think our guys are pretty psyched. And it is one of those real badges of success when you're one of the six teams to play, six or eight teams, depending on the docket. But it's awesome. And it just tells you like kind of where we've come from. And Gail, you've been a part of this franchise for closely for the last few years. I mean, you couldn't even fathom, you know, in 2015, when you're winning, you know, 15 games and kind of going that the you'd have to fight the league to slow down on our national broadcasts and what our commitments are, which is where we want to be. I mean, we want to be everybody's NBA team. We want to be the global team. We think we're in a place to do that. And, you know, we want to bring home another championship.
We're back with Courtside on Bucks Weekly after this on WTMJ. You're listening to Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Here's more Courtside with Gail and Bucks president Peter Fagan.
Peter, looking back over your career, in a prior life, I know you had some interaction with a legendary investor, Warren Buffett. Give us, if you will, an anecdote from your conversations with the guy who's known as the Oracle of Omaha.
You know, it's so funny. I mean, he's a different guy, but I mean, he was always very transparent and clear, you know, from do the right things for the right reasons, you know, which seems very simplistic, but it's really, you know, kind of. And I think the other thing he said on the risk side is, and again, it's been very famous, but he kind of echoes it through all of his operating companies, is, you know, don't do anything that you wouldn't want, you know, printed in the newspaper. And it sounds so simple, But that's not a bad barometer, you know, at high levels of management to kind of really navigate a path, you know, forward. So, you know, little simple things like that. And you know, he was kind of this incredible visionary global leader who really, you know, wanted the operators to run their businesses, you know, and wanted to over communicate how things were going in real time. But I was always amazed and still am of how simple he makes discussions about the economy, about trends, about economics, and he did it about business as well.
I think you found this, Peter, both in business and in sports. The great people, the people who really have insight, are simplifiers, not people who make things more complex.
Yeah, I agree with you. Less is more. How do you kind of simplify, execute, and move on?
And I know Bud feels the same way in his approach to coaching. And for people tuning into the Bucks, they're seeing Bud a little bit gimpy and a little bit lame as we start the season. You might want to explain to folks what Bud did during the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I can't tell you there's not some pleasure I get in Bud not being able to actually physically get up and chase me if I poke him or make fun of him or have arguments with him. So, you know, his disability moment right now is terrible in his comfort and walking around. But he had surgery on his ankle this summer, kind of a massive surgery. He's recovered like really quickly. If you looked at him on Saturday night, he's actually for the first time without a boot. I think this was something that literally pained him for years and years and years. And it was so great he got it done. And I think he's just grinning and bearing it, you know, for the next few weeks to get it. But, you know, for him and for John Horst, who's also injured coming off of surgery, it's been, you know, it's been funny meetings with legs up in the air on desks for the last few weeks.
And a bit of a new coaching staff on hand for the Bucks now. One of the individuals I know, Peter, is one of your favorite people in the world, Darvin Ham, and the Bucks are very happy not to have lost him, but for his opportunity in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I keep telling people that he could be the only person on an opposing team, kind of on the basketball side, I'd actually talk to and still love. And I don't root for him to win because I don't root for any competitors to win. But I want him to succeed. I mean, he was a vital part of our chemistry. He was like, you know, really part of our emotion, and he just gave, you know, he gave 110% when he was here, helped us towards a championship, and I think this opportunity is just so great for him. But you know, I certainly stay in touch with him and kind of text him as he navigates the LA media market.
That'll be a challenge. And now, of course, the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers with LeBron James. And Peter, finally, a bit of a philosophical question for you. You're headed now into your eighth season at the helm of the Bucks. Fiserv Forum is now the state-of-the-art arena in the NBA. The Bucks, of course, brought home a championship. Thinking about all of those accomplishments, what are the one or two most important leadership lessons you've learned in your time in Milwaukee?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, interestingly enough, probably the pandemic really was kind of like a lesson that you couldn't have made up, or really you kind of understand a lot more about yourself, and kind of learning that the energy and kind of the fortitude and relentlessness of communicating and keeping people together and kind of forging ahead and trying to be productive in a time where honestly we had no idea directionally, you know, where things were going or how to plan or have, you know, usually you have plan A, plan B. You don't usually have plans A, B, C, and D, depending on kind of what's happening in the environment of the world. So I think that changed. That was a pivot for me personally and professionally in a very big way. But, you know, I've learned that, you know, if you surround yourself with really good, smart people, you really can accomplish anything. And you really have to start with the answer, as you reinforce to me all the time, Gail. And you really have to, in our roles, figure out the roadmap to get there. And it should be fun in a way. And in pro sports and kind of in these jobs, if you're not having fun, there's probably something, you know, clinically wrong with you.
Peter, always great to visit with you. Always great insights. Best of luck on the upcoming season.
Bucks Weekly continues. I'm Justin Garcia. You just heard the conversation with Gale Klappa and Bucks president Peter Fagan. The interesting part, or most interesting part I took from that, was the timeline discussion. So Pat Connaughton, we knew, would be out roughly 3 weeks. And 3 weeks from the time we were told that was the timeline, if you can follow me on that, it would be 13 days away, 2 weeks from yesterday. So November 7th is kind of the soft launch date for Pat Connaughton's season. But Peter said a week to two is what he felt. Now, I know Peter Fagan is the president of the Bucks. He's not on the medical staff and it's certainly not an assistant coach. But indicated a week to two would be Chris Middleton's return, which would kind of sync up with Pat Connaughton making his season debut. So we may be seeing Pat Connaughton and Chris Middleton on the same day, is what I took away from that. But without Pat Connaughton, without Chris Middleton, we've seen the Bucks get off to a 2-0 start. And I mentioned our sub of the week. This is an interactive thing that we're going to do every week, Tommy. It's not just me determining who is the best player off the bench for the Bucks. To me, this may be a two-horse race. Bobby Portis has to be in there. And let's just go ahead and assume we make a poll question, we leave it up to the audience to decide who our sub of the week was. If Bobby Portis is included, I'm guessing Bobby Portis is going to receive the most votes 98% of the time,
as he should.
Bobby Portis, Wesley Matthews, you have to put in for hitting the game-winning shot against the 76ers. I know Javon Carter is the apple of a lot of Bucks fans' eye. Javon Carter starting these last two games. You can't put him in the category. Grayson Allen was starting, so you can't throw him in the mix. The game against the Rockets opened up a lot of things for the reserves. But to me, I don't know. Is there anybody we're leaving off that group? Did you put Jordan Wara in there? No, we'll throw Jordan Wara and George Hill in there. So your choices for Bucks sub of the week, and like we said, I know you're going to vote for Bobby Portis. And look, I'm not complaining. He had a double-double against the 76ers, nearly had a double-double against the Houston Rockets as well. And for the two games played, Bobby Portis put up 12 points and 9 rebounds a game, shooting 40% on his threes, 55% from the field. So Bobby Portis, Wesley Matthews, George Hill for looking like the George Hill of 2019, and Jordan Wara. We'll make those your choices. You can weigh in on the poll question on Twitter. It's at TMJ Garcia. And determine who was the Bucks sub of the week. We will reveal the winner next week and start the debate for who's the next Bucks sub of the week. I do want to take a peek at this schedule as well, because we got to give you our marquee matchup of the week. It's a six-game homestand. You also heard Peter Fagan mention seven of the first nine that the Bucks play will be at Fiserv Forum, but it's a homestand that the Brooklyn Nets were winning. They are currently losing now against the Memphis Grizzlies. So Brooklyn may be entering on a loss. You have the Brooklyn Nets on Wednesday night. The New York Knicks are an improved basketball team. Jalen Brunson makes them better. Having an adult in the room at point guard changes things for every single offense. Isaiah Hartenstein, maybe the best player. If you're a casual fan, you've never heard of him, get to know him. He's really good. And then you got the new look Atlanta Hawks, who, look, this new defense, I'm going to be curious to see, how do they handle the floaters in the mid-range game from Trae Young? So those are the first three, but I am telling you, do not sleep on the Detroit Pistons. They're going to be bad in terms of record. They're going to be in a lot of games. Cade Cunningham is for real. Jalen Duran looked pretty good And my guy, Beef Stew, he's got the versatility to defend bigs and the perimeter, and now he's hitting three-pointers. Those are going to be two tough teams or two tough games you have against the Detroit Pistons. That's 1 week from tonight, and then Wednesday, November 2nd, are those two games against the Pistons. So the homestand wraps up on November 2nd, but the games we have in front of us between now and when we will talk again next Tuesday are the Brooklyn Nets, the New York Knicks, the Atlanta Hawks, and Game 1 against the Detroit Pistons. Which of those is the marquee matchup of the week? And did the Philadelphia 76ers finally get in the win column? We'll get into that, and we wrap up the show after this on Bucks Weekly. Okay. All right, it's going final in Philadelphia, 120 to 106. 76ers are in the win column. They beat the Indiana Pacers. Thanks to another big game from James Harden. So I talked about this on Bucks Talk after Thursday night's season opener. And by the way, after each and every Bucks game this season on these airwaves, on ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison, you can join us for our extended post-game Bucks Talk with yours truly. Same call-in number if you want to join us and share your thoughts after each and every Milwaukee Bucks game. And if that's not enough of a basketball fix for you, Tommy, you were just asking me how you get more. Every single morning, we did this last year as well, every single morning in your podcast feed, if you subscribe to the Bucks flagship podcast feed courtesy of WTMJ, the NBAM, every morning, recapping games played the night before, previewing the games on the schedule for that current day, and giving you your news. It's a bite-sized podcast, also hosted by me, to give you everything you need to know for your day, your NBA day, that is. So check that one out as well. But the 76ers, we'll talk about this on the NBA. I'm finally getting the win column. James Harden's been really good for Philadelphia. You saw that Thursday night against the Bucks. He was good against the Celtics in the season opener. He was good again tonight. 10 of 18 from the floor, 29 points and 11 assists. Another 25-point double-double for James Harden. You got to get Joel Embiid going, though. And that's what kind of stands out with the 76ers. Look, we're not making any grand takeaways 2 to 3 to 4 games into the season out of 82 games. This is not the NFL. And you can't really make any type of assessments until you get at least midway through the season. Because let us not forget the Boston Celtics, the team that should have been the NBA champions. It still makes me so angry to see the Celtics squander the opportunity they were given last year. But the team that should have won the title, the Boston Celtics, were under 500. They didn't start to figure things out until January, and then became a much different team. So we're not making any overarching assessments of any games played here this first week or these first months. But you can take some pieces away. You can take away, hey, Bucks look pretty good, right? Giannis looks like he's still the best player in the league. Now, on the flip side, the half-court offense looks like it's going to continue to struggle until Chris Middleton is back, and really until Chris Middleton is back and Joe Ingles is on the floor with this team. Defense still looks good. Brooke Lopez looks incredible. If we asked who is the Bucks' best player first week of the season, it's Giannis, but Brooke Lopez is number two. He was the second best player on the floor in both games. And that just shows you, man, why was the Bucks' defense so mediocre last year? Well, they didn't have that guy in the middle. And you saw how much he changed things against Joel Embiid. And then he and Giannis, look, it was not a fair fight going up against the Houston Rockets, but he and Giannis basically took away everything in the paint for that Rockets team. So it is great to see Brooke Lopez back on the floor. It was also great to see Drew Holiday offensively get going against the Rockets. It was a tough offensive game against the 76ers. But the thing about Drew Holiday is, you know, we'll see those types of games, but he always brings it on the defense. And you also have to ask, and when we see those struggles, we saw him against the Boston Celtics in the playoffs, the same struggles you saw Thursday against the 76ers. I mean, how much of this is due to the workload that Drew Holiday is taking on the defensive end of the floor. And again, you're asking a lot of Drew Holiday in the interim with no Chris Middleton, and even to some extent with no Pat Connaughton. But it was good to see 5-for-5 start for Drew Holiday on Saturday against the Houston Rockets, and a better offensive performance. So to me, the marquee matchup of the week is going to be Wednesday night when the Brooklyn Nets come to town. The Nets are currently losing, playing the Memphis Grizzlies right now, but it's 101-92, getting close to the fourth quarter. But I am going to be very curious, and what to me makes this the marquee matchup, I am going to be very curious to see this perimeter defense and how it looks. We saw some of the things they did against the 76ers, but you know, this is not a Philadelphia team that's going to really beat you on the perimeter like that. They're going to beat you in the pick and roll. They're going to beat you with James Harden. Not going to take a lot of threes. I mean, we saw over the weekend the same thing with Philly. They took 24 threes against the Bucks. Didn't take a whole lot more against the San Antonio Spurs on Saturday. So you may have caught a team that's just not going to take a lot of threes. Now, Saturday, you saw a Rockets team that will and does take a lot of threes. And I thought the Bucks held up fairly well. They were still challenging shooters. As we mentioned on Bucks Talk, the big thing is not necessarily the number of threes taken. And again, last year it was 40 a game. It's not the number of threes taken. It's the number of threes that are wide open or open that are taken. And last year, of those 40 that opponents took against the Bucks, 36 were either open or wide open. So 4 to 6 feet or more that the nearest defender was. That is what you need to keep an eye on and see. Does that number start to shrink? Because we're in a three-point league. Teams are going to take a high volume of threes. It's the way the Bucks played defense to say, fine, we'll live with that. You're not getting anything in the restricted area or close to the basket. You're probably going to have to sacrifice some of that, but if it means not giving up 43s and not giving up 25 makes in a game, as we saw regularly last year, 20 or more makes, the Bucks gave up the most 20 three-pointer made games of any team in the league. Cutting down on that is going to be big for this team and their defensive success moving forward. So to me, the game to keep an eye on is Wednesday night against the Brooklyn Nets, and that's the reason why, to see what their defense on the perimeter is able to do against this Brooklyn Nets team. You know you're going to see Kyrie Irving, or I should say we assume you're going to see Kyrie Irving. You're going to see Kevin Durant. Still haven't seen Seth Curry, but Joe Harris just did recently come back. And assuming Ben Simmons doesn't foul out, you're going to see Ben Simmons as well. So see how this team holds up against Kevin Durant, Kyrie, Joe Harris. Maybe Seth Curry plays as well. Patty Mills has had some good games to open up the season as well. So they've got shooters in Brooklyn. Let's see how this new-look Bucks defense holds up against those shooters. And that is Wednesday night, 6:30 tip time on Wednesday. 6 o'clock is when our radio network coverage will begin with Dave Kane and myself on the Bucks radio network. So please do tune in for that. And as I mentioned, as soon as the game ends, join us on these same airwaves for Bucks Talk, your chance to chime in and react to the game with me. We take it for an hour after network postgame and invite you to join us for that as well. My thanks to all of you for tuning in tonight to Gail Klappa and a sit-down with Peter Fagan and our producer Tommy Wirtz. We will be back next Tuesday with more Bucks Weekly right back here on WTMJ.